Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia Hyatt, professional psychotherapist and relationship expert. In private practice for over 20 years, Cynthia specializes in teaching individuals, groups, and organizations about how to be successful in relationships, how to handle the variety of differences each gender brings, and ultimately, how to be your own best version. With a dynamic and enthusiastic approach, Cynthia helps each person understand how temperament and gender affects every relationship and inspires her audiences to become all God created them to be. With this understanding, she shares practical tools, resources, and wisdom to guide each person to a transformational understanding of themselves and others. You can find Cynthia on the web at CynthiaHyatt.com and on social media under Cynthia Hyatt, Inc. for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week. And now, here's Cynthia.
Well, hello, and welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. I'm so glad that you joined me today, and I've missed you because I haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, so I'm really glad to be back and doing another show, and this one I'm really believing will be very helpful for you. It's always helpful for me to be reminded of this issue of forgiveness and, most importantly, forgiving ourselves. Oh my goodness, how hard that is to do. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you're as hard on yourself as I am on myself, but it is a very difficult thing many times for me to forgive myself, and it's far easier for me to forgive others. So, I mean, why is learning to forgive ourselves so much harder than forgiving others? I mean, we all mess up, and sometimes we mess up in really, really big ways. And the list of potential misdeeds and wrongdoings is very long. And I think it's important for us to ask ourselves about these different misdeeds. I mean, oftentimes we either want to really major only in the majors or we want to major in the minors. I mean, did you lie today in any way? Did you lie a teeny, teeny, tiny bit, or did you lie like a bold-faced lie? Did you cheat in some way? And cheating can be, you know, I didn't report what I needed to on my business expense, but maybe it was only a couple of dollars. Or maybe I cheated and went through a yellow light. Maybe it's cheating in a really big way. Maybe I'm cheating the IRS. Maybe I'm cheating on my spouse. Maybe I hurt someone. Maybe I judge someone. You know, maybe it's just I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And what I want you to know is that there are going to be three rules that we're going to talk about today that really help to have a life that God has really intended for us to have, and that is a life that is wealthy, wealthy in living, abundant in living. And one of the biggest rules that we have to learn to do is this forgiveness of self, and why can't we do this? And so this tendency to withhold forgiveness, it produces sickness and disease in our soul and body, and it is directly linked, they now know, to many of the autoimmune diseases. It just compromises our immune system. It makes us more susceptible to everyday illnesses like just the flu, or we just don't battle maybe a headache or a cold as well. Maybe we're more susceptible to bad food when it might have just been uncomfortable. Maybe it totally takes us down. And so you want to understand that this tendency to withhold forgiveness of others, but especially of ourselves, really affects our overall health. And so many people have this constant critical voice in their head that narrates like every move they make and criticizes it and gives them a rundown on whether or not it was good or bad. And I know we all have that inner critic. But forgiveness, when we forgive ourselves, it really doesn't mean that we're not going to be angry with ourselves or that we're not going to be disappointed in ourselves or frustrated with ourselves. It doesn't make everything okay. It doesn't minimize the offense. What it does mean is that I'm able to live at peace with myself. And I want us to really practice this idea of resisting this desire to be our own prosecuting attorney, our own judge, jury, and eventual executioner. See, the wealth that comes with forgiveness is a wealth that has no taxes, transfers easily to the next generation, as well as the others around you. And it's the type of wealth doesn't need accountants, managers, advisors. And it reproduces itself in other areas of your life. It continuously compounds itself. and it's always readily available whenever you need it. And this issue of forgiveness is such a wealth that we give ourselves, because it brings back life and it ushers in hope and it gives, you know, this ongoing restoration to our soul and our body. And see, I think forgiveness is sometimes confused with condoning or a lack of accountability. And, you know, this is a world with really high standards, and people think, you know, they really need to be perfect. I can be one of them. I can struggle with perfectionism, and I have battled that over the course of my life. And I have a pretty good handle on it. I certainly enjoy my life better, and I tell people that struggle with perfectionism, when I really let go of perfectionism, I was amazed at how better my performance became and how much more I enjoyed it. And so this whole thing about needing to be perfect and this judging ourselves and thinking that if I somehow forgive myself, I'm letting myself off the hook, and if I let myself off the hook, I'll probably be worse and I'll just do more things that are wrong. And so we want to be really careful about understanding that forgiveness does not condone, does not minimize, does not accept it as a new way of living. Forgiveness is a necessary part of being human. And so how do we do this whole issue of forgiveness? And I love that the Bible, that God really understands his people and offers us a way always toward health and abundant living, toward peace, toward hope, joy, all these things that he desires that we have. And so our first rule, when we look at, I'm going to talk about these three rules of living today and what they do for us. And our first rule today, this is, we accept forgiveness and we offer forgiveness. And when we see this, we find it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and you are all very familiar with the Lord's Prayer. And this says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." And the version of the Bible, The Voice, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us something." And so the implication is that forgiveness is due to a debt. Something is owed us, excuse me, or something we owe. So what the Bible is saying is pay it quickly. Get on with your life. So when you think about a debt, one of the reasons we have such a hard time forgiving ourselves is that it's kind of like owing ourselves a debt. Maybe my behavior stole something from me. Maybe it stole my self-worth or my self-respect. Maybe the offense that I did affected me financially. Maybe it affected me socially. Maybe it affects me spiritually. And so this idea of forgiving our debts, as we forgive those who have, you know, have owe us something, who have harmed us. See, there are many times that we forgive others and we forgive the debt because it's not able to be paid back. There isn't enough money, enough time, enough resources to be able to undo what the wrongdoing was. Well, it goes with ourselves as well. Many times I owe myself something better. I owe myself better behavior. I owe myself a better attitude. I owe myself better self-care. But what I do is I forgive that debt that I owe to myself, and I say, I have to start over. I have to start again. I have to learn, and I have to be willing to allow myself to learn. And so we have this first rule that God gave us, and that is that we forgive our debts, the ones that I have owing to myself. If I can't pay it back, I forgive it. If I can't undo a situation publicly that I'm not proud of, I forgive myself for it. And then I forgive those that owe me. So I practice forgiveness in that way. The second one that we have is called the Golden Rule, and it says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." See, when I treat others in a way that I would like to be treated. There are going to be many less things I need to forgive myself for. So here's what the Message Bible says. I love this. And this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It says, here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you and grab the initiative and do it for them. And this is important to recognize that when I am practicing the golden rule, it's amazing how much less I need to forgive myself for, how much better I feel about myself. And so this means quickly. I mean, I could give you countless verses on forgiveness and the medical and psychological findings as to the power and necessity of forgiveness. But the bottom line is, we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. God has forgiven us. We are therefore to forgive others. And the others includes ourselves for whatever it is that we've done. There are many egregious things I know that you have in your past. Maybe you just did it last night. I don't know. But there is nothing that does not deserve forgiveness. It doesn't ever mean that the behavior deserves to be minimized. But I'm a human, I need forgiveness. And what I really want you to understand is there are many times that we try to forgive the wrong things. See, we don't need to forgive who we are. We forgive what we do. We don't ever have to be embarrassed or ashamed or feel guilty because we're human and we struggle and we make mistakes. But many of the mistakes that we make, that learning curve of how we are learning to be better humans, can be costly. And many of those debts cannot be repaid. I may have borrowed someone's car and crashed it, and I don't have the money to fix it, and I'm thankful that they have insurance, and I might not even have the money to pay their deductible. They may have to forgive me for that. But that doesn't mean that I'm a bad human. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It means that good people do bad things, and they require forgiveness to help them not do more bad things. So we have the golden rule. Let's go back to the golden rule. We have the first rule that we forgive, and we forgive others, and we allow God to forgive us. We accept his forgiveness, we forgive others, we accept their forgiveness of us, and we forgive ourselves. And we live the golden rule. This is an ethic of reciprocity. It's a maxim. It's an ethical code. And it basically says one should treat others as you would like others to treat yourself. This is directive. So the first part of that rule is what we call a directive form of a rule. So it says you should treat others as you would like others to treat yourself. And so when we think about this idea of forgiving others, we must be needing to forgive ourselves. Humans require forgiveness. So when I treat others like they would like to be treated, like they would like to be forgiven, well, so would I. So I want to treat them the way I want to be treated. So I want to forgive them because I'm going to need forgiveness as well. The more forgiving I am of myself, the better able I am to forgive them. I'm much more forgiving to others. I'm much more accepting. I have much more patience. I have much more honor to give. I have much more resiliency for others when I practice these things toward myself. Well, the second part of that golden rule is what they like to say is a silver rule. It's like the silver rule. So it's kind of a cautionary form. So the first one is directive. The second way that we look at that directive is in a more cautionary way, which is known as simply the silver rule. And it says one should not treat others in the way that one would not like to be treated. So it just looks at it in the inverse. So I can either look at the golden rule of do to those people what I would like to be done to me, or I could say to myself, don't do to people what I don't want to be done to myself. So if I don't want people to not forgive me, if I hope that they are willing to do that, and I don't like it when they withhold forgiveness from me, then I must not withhold that from them. If I withhold it from myself, my tendency is to be more able to withhold it from others. The more unforgiving I am toward myself, the more unforgiving I am toward others. I know that sounds kind of like the reverse of it. It seems like if we were unforgiving toward ourselves, we might be even more forgiving toward others, but it actually doesn't work that way. So when we look at this like what we refer to as a silver rule, we also see that this silver rule of don't do to others what you would not like to be done to yourself is supported by this verse in the chapter of Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And this one says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Now we also see this, it started out in Leviticus in chapter 19, verses 18, where it said this very same thing, that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. So when we think about this, the more love that I have, the more forgiveness I'm going to have. The less love I have, the less love I feel, the less forgiving I'm going to be. So we can see that, wow, this idea of this third rule, this part of the silver rule that says I'm to love people as I love myself, which means I don't do to people what I wouldn't want done to me, which then transcends to I forgive others as they've forgiven me, which goes back to the scripture that we have in the Lord's Prayer that says God has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. So we see this all the way through many different cultures in many different ways. It goes back very, very far, thousands and thousands of years ago. We see it all through ancient writings. This idea of love your neighbor as yourself, this idea of forgiving others as you have been forgiven, and the need to do unto others as you would do to yourself. So the most difficult, though, of all these three rules is this whole issue of self-forgiveness and positive self-treatment. So it's difficult enough to receive forgiveness from God. But many times I feel like maybe I'm able to receive forgiveness from God better than I am able to forgive others. And many times what happens with me, I don't know if this is familiar to you, but if I have been really harmed by someone, I mean deeply, in an egregious manner, my tendency is to not want God to forgive them either. And so, you know, you may be able to relate to that. But this issue of forgiveness is so big for God. That is the impetus of the whole reason he sent Jesus, was forgiveness. The forgiveness of who we have become. That we are not the people that he created us to be. That he loves his creation. He loves humans. Jesus loves humans. He does not love our behaviors. And so we need a lot of forgiveness. So you want to think about the idea of how powerful this edict is. That pretty much everything revolves around this whole issue when it comes to living. It comes down to, am I going to be willing to accept God's forgiveness of me? Am I going to be willing to forgive others? Am I going to be willing to forgive myself? And am I then going to be able to love them the way that I love myself? Am I going to be able to love them well if I'm not loving myself well? Am I able to forgive them if I'm withholding forgiveness from myself? So it always, if you've ever listened to any of my shows, you know it always comes back to the internal world. It's all about me in terms of that's where it emanates from. I cannot control the external world, but I can control what goes on inside of me. If I can't, I need to ask for the help of God to be able to control my own internal world, because outside, what emanates out to the outer world is what comes from within myself. If I have self-forgiveness, if I receive God's forgiveness willingly, if I am then better able to forgive others, if I love others around me the way that God loves me, and I practice loving myself the way God loves me, I'm going to experience this world very differently. My experience of the world down here is going to be one that's more pleasant, deeper, richer, more profound, more poignant, not necessarily less painful, but much, much more meaningful. So let's talk about how we actually do this whole issue of forgiveness. So first of all, we said you don't need to forgive being you. See, forgiving yourself is about targeting specific things that you feel bad about, not about the person you are. And forgiveness is a technique of self-acceptance. It allows you to acknowledge that you're a person, a valuable person, faults and all. Doesn't mean you ignore the faults or stop trying to improve yourself, but it does mean that you value yourself above those elements and you cease to allow your faults to halt your progression in life. So we accept our faults. It doesn't mean that we just accept them as is and that's just the way that it is and we don't try to change it. It means that in the moment that we're experiencing it, we accept ourselves for who we are right now, this very moment. Right as I'm speaking to you, God accepts me completely. With all I've done, all I'm going to do, all that I am right in this moment, he accepts me 100%. It doesn't mean that he's going to leave me this way, thank God. Well, I need to offer that to others as well. It's not my job to take their inventory. It's not my job to decide what they should do, would do, ought to do, if only they would do. It's my job to accept them as God accepts them. It doesn't mean I agree with everything they do or like everything they do. But it means I accept them as I am accepting myself. So we also need to love ourselves and give ourselves permission to heal, which means that a great majority of our bad behavior comes out of injury, comes out of trauma, comes out of whatever pain that we are in. And some of our bad behavior just simply comes out of the fact that we are fallen people and we live in a fallen world, and our tendency is to want to do what's easiest for us, and generally what's easiest is not always healthy and not always good, not always righteous. So we give ourselves permission and we love ourselves while we are healing from the mistakes that we have made, while we are healing from the mistakes that other people have made. We also need to laugh more. It'll give you more freedom to stop taking yourself so seriously. I love to laugh. Laughing is so healing. And the more that I laugh at myself, the more I'm able to accept myself. It doesn't mean I laugh at myself in a mocking manner, nor does it mean I do that with others. But the more that I really can just say, you know what, I did the dumbest thing. I cannot believe I did this. And I'm not going to be embarrassed about every mistake that I make. I am not going to be mortified or live in shame over the fact that I'm human and I don't do things perfectly and I don't always know how to do them perfectly. And many times I'm too tired to do them perfectly. And so I'm going to love myself, accept myself in the process of becoming who God has me to be. So we need to understand the importance of forgiveness. That living in a state of being unable to forgive requires a ton of energy. See, you're constantly chewed up by fear of your own vulnerability. We can burn up with anger, and that is many times the source of our pain. And we live with the constancy of hurt and blame when we will withhold forgiveness. And this energy deserves to be put to better use so that our creativity and our abilities are fed, not our negativity. Because being angry requires a ton of energy. It takes a lot of energy from us. And it steals our peace, which makes us more tired. The more tired we are, the more irritable and easily frustrated we become. The more offended we become, the more we need to forgive. So I always want to think that, you know, the one incident here that I believe is unforgivable is okay for me to have because I'll forgive all these other things. And so I can keep that area localized. Well, it's like an infection. It doesn't stay in its place. It spreads to my whole being. I wish I could localize unforgiveness and just be mad at that one person. But it starts to affect and cloud my entire experience of my world and others. So next, we want to think that, you know, some people, we're afraid to forgive ourselves because we might lose my sense of self. If my sense of self has been built on anger or resentment or invulnerability, that I'm a defended person and that makes me feel safe. See, if that's the case, then you want to ask yourself, if that angry, easily hurt and reactive person is actually the identity that you want the world to see, that you want the world to live with. So is the security of this mode of thinking really worth the effort and the harm it's causing you? Because it might be better to have a small time of insecurity as you find your way again than to continue living this lifetime bogged down in anger. Next, we want to see forgiveness in a positive light. So if you're kind of bothered that forgiving suggests that you shouldn't experience strong feelings, such as, you know, anger, resentment, these types of things, I want you to understand that that this whole issue, when it comes to forgiveness, does not mean I don't have big feelings. If I didn't have big feelings, I wouldn't have much to forgive. See, if I didn't care, then what would there be to forgive? So when I'm forgiving someone, something, some event, I might have really big feelings for a while. But I want you to try viewing it as a chance to feel strong, positive feelings, such as joy and generosity and faith in yourself, if you were to let go of those other strong, those negative feelings. So switching it to thinking about what you'll gain rather than what you'll lose has the benefit of keeping you positive while minimizing the negative emotions. See, there's this big, there is a sense of loss, and when we look at the grief and loss process, which we've talked about on this show, anger is one of the things that we work on toward acceptance and forgiveness. We work on letting go of that. We work on getting through that. And there is a loss many times when I truly forgive and I let go of anger. So next, let's think about this. We want to take into account the challenges raised by not forgiving ourselves. So what are the challenges? I've mentioned some previously that are raised when you resist forgiving yourself. I want you to ask yourself that for a moment. Because, see, not only do you allow yourself to remain stuck in the past, but not forgiving yourself takes a huge toll on your emotional and physical health. And the inability to forgive is sourced from anger and resentment. And that wreaks havoc on your health. And there's numerous studies that have shown that people stuck in constant anger are much more prone to disease and illness than those who learn to forgive themselves and others. We always want to remember that forgiving doesn't equate with forgetting. So you're entitled to learn by the experience and be guided by that experience. It's about leaving aside the resentment and the self-inflicted berating that comes from remembering. Because I will tell you the truth. There are things that, there are mistakes that I have made. I thought, oh, if I could just forget about it, if I don't ever have to think about it again. But that generally meant I wasn't truly through with the forgiveness process of myself. Because once I truly forgave myself, I can talk about the memory. Because it's really a memory. It's in the past. And it's something that I've learned from. And it's not necessarily connected to the current me. When I haven't forgiven myself, if I have to think about it, I get the wash of dread again. Oh, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that. And all the self-recrimination that comes with it. So I want to really encourage you that the desire to forget something, to not ever have to think of it again, to try to blot it out of your mind, has a lot to do with resisting self-forgiveness, a lot to do with a lack of acceptance. Because once I accept myself as a human that makes really big mistakes, and think about the people in the public eye that have made mistakes and have all come back. Think of how many big mistakes they have made. And we kind of forgot about it. Their next endeavor we really appreciate and enjoy. And we think about, wow, remember when they did that? And we think of it as history. I want you to really consider this about accepting emotions. I want you to really avoid not doing the self-forgiveness. I want you to not avoid the negative emotions, and I want you to accept them as a part of what it is, who you are, what you felt, and what it means. And I want you to really let go of the perfectionism. And I want you to be able to forgive the people in your life that have truly harmed you. And I don't want you to rationalize it. I don't want you to minimize it. I don't want you to think that when we forgive it, that it doesn't mean anything. My goodness. Think about Jesus. We all reflect on what he's done for us. And even though he died for our sins, he died 2,000 years ago, we still reflect on it. Because it's meaningful. So it doesn't mean we forget what happens. It means that it takes on the meaning it's supposed to take on. That either means I learn from something, I'm a deeper person, I'm someone of more substance, I'm a more forgiving person myself. You are worth forgiving. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Join me next week or 3 weeks from now, and God bless your week.